Dog Works Radio is sponsored by Alaska Dog Works. Check out their website at alaskadogworks.com. Dog Works Radio Network presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto from Mushing Radio, and we are doing a brand new podcast. It's going to be called The Dog Driver Show, and I am here with the host. His name is Karosh Parto. He goes by KP. KP, how's it going?
It's going great today. Thank you for having me in your show. Pretty excited about the show. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for everybody within the sled dog sport to listen this all these podcasts with different guests.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Can you introduce yourself and tell our listeners who you are and what you're all about, please?
Well, I guess started the sled dog racing in 1987, which doesn't make me any younger, in Europe, actually. We started with Siberian Huskies in Europe, and after a few years of racing in Europe, we decided to move to the U.S. to pursue our dreams of racing sled dogs, sprint racing. And when I was in Europe, we've done anything and everything from bike touring, canicross, dry land karts, and limited class racing, all the way to mid-distance, actually, in the Pyrenees and in the Alps. And we moved to the U.S. In the Midwest. After that, it was, I believe, 93. And we started the Midwest circuit, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, and did some races down in Colorado, of course, in Canada. And after years of racing there, we decided to come to the Mecca, which is Alaska. We've been racing in Alaska since 2002, and in limited class, and very, very lately in open class.
So, KP, let's take a step back a little bit. How did you get involved with mushing at the start? Was this something that you've learned about since childhood, or was it something you caught on later in life?
No, it was actually a complete accident, quite honestly. When I was in college for a Valentine's gift, I got a puppy husky for my wife, and this puppy started to become bigger and bigger and more destructive, and we didn't know what to do. And so we talked to friends, and they said, these are sled dogs. You're supposed to work them. So we joined a local club in France and got involved and start to get a bicycle and a harness and start to do bike touring. And of course, one dog is not enough. So you give away the second one and the third one. And before you know, we had five dogs in Paris racing sled dogs in Europe.
So you had mentioned that you were living in Paris at the time. I only know of rural dog mushing. So what is it like to live in a major metropolitan city like that with four or five dogs, and the next thing you know, you have to go outside the city to find trails and all of this other stuff? Obviously, you're new at it at this point. So what was that transition like from city life to now you're becoming a dog musher?
Definitely urban mushing. Definitely urban mushing. So we live in an apartment, as you can imagine. In Paris, we don't have a lot of land or room or yard or kennels. We had to literally sacrifice our time around the dogs. And, from college, I had to take special time or courses to make sure I can attend and come back home, take the dogs out. And for training, we had actually a little Ford Fiesta, and we would shove four dogs or five dogs in the car and put the cart on top of the roof and go to local parks at night, because during the day we had people going around it, use the cart to do dry land training. And of course, we had absolutely no way to do winter training because we lived in Paris. And the only time we were running on a sled, it was when we were at races, or we had to take, you know, our holidays or Christmas or other holidays that we may have and go and in the mountains and in the Alps mainly, and train with our dogs.
It sounds like the start of every other musher, doesn't it? You know, they get a couple, they're driving around in the family car, they've got the sled or the bike roped off to the top, and there they go. And that's how a lot of people get started in the sport, isn't it?
That is correct. That's we're passionate people about our dogs and our sport, and I see more and more people starting the same way we did a few years ago. And when I go to some of the dry land races or some of actually the sled races that we have in Alaska, I can see myself where I was 20 years ago or 25 years ago with my dogs.
So you had mentioned that later on you moved over to the Midwest and then on up to Alaska, but you also mentioned starting with Siberians. When did that transition happen from kind of the typical looking sled dog to what you have now, which are these sleek, you know, Alaskan, hardcore, bred-to-run monsters that you have out on the trail now? When was that transition?
Correct. When we came to Alaska, originally we were running the 4 and 6 dog class for years and years and years, and we had an extremely competitive team in the 6 dog class. And then one night around dinner, it was my partners, Ken Lurie Chizik, and our friends Helen and Egil Ellis were on dinner table, and they said, why don't you run 8 dog class? And so that's how I started to jump from the 6 to the 8 dog class, and we put a team together for the season after that, extremely competitive team again, and we won many, 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 many races with the team, people in the circuit. They used to call them the Super 8 because they won everything basically for several years in a row. And and then very recently, a couple of years ago, again, I wanted a new challenge. And the challenge was to compete with a very, very small kennel of 14 dogs, limited class dogs, which sprinters, they know what the difference is between a limited class and the open class, using the exact same dogs running in the 6 dog and 8 dog class, and bring them up to the distance of the open class. And I did a rendezvous and a bunch of the other open class races the first year, and last year I did Eagle River Classic, Montana Creek, Onak, and a bunch of other races in the open class.
So when you started that breeding program and that placement program with the dogs that you have now, was that after you arrived in Alaska in 2001 or 2002, or was that kind of in that transition from Europe to U.S. to Alaska?
No, it was before. It was before because we lived in Wisconsin, and we'd fly up, and when we fly up, we saw this happening here because, of course, Alaska is the, as I said, it's the Mecca, it's the downtown of sled dog racing, sprint racing, and that's what we saw it in. That's how we started importing dogs from overseas.
So when you arrived in Alaska, you established roots here and started your kennel in Chugiak. And over the years, you've been a world-class musher. You've raced all over, of course, Alaska and everywhere else in the world. But now your focus is on the open class. Is that right?
Definitely. The sprint mushing in general, in snow racing, sled racing, is different classes, what we call the limited class. Limited classes, you have a certain number of dogs that you can have, and you cannot exceed that number. The numbers being 4, 6, 8, 10, usually. So 4 dog classes, usually they run 4 miles and they have 4 dogs. 6 dog classes, usually they run 6 dogs. And 6 miles, 8 dog classes, 8 miles, 8 dogs, and so on for 10 dog class and 10 dogs. In the open class, the distances are higher, of course, anything from 16 to 30 miles approximately. And you can have any number of the dogs you want. You can have 12, you can have 14, 16, 18, 20. I've seen 24 dog teams also. But it's not bigger, always better.
Can you tell us about the power difference between a small four-dog team compared to a dog team of 16 or possibly even 20?
Absolutely. It's actually, for me, that was the most impressive part of the transitioning from limited to open. The speed is not higher. A lot of people, they think in the open class you go faster. It's not true. The fastest dog teams are usually 6 or 8 dog class. However, the torque, the power is extremely impressive. The power of these athletes going up and down hills and going around the corners and everything is very, very, very impressive. It's like, driving a semi truck, basically. It's very hard to stop them, actually. But the speed wise, a 20 miles an hour open class team is a very, very fast team. In short sprint limited, I used to do 23, 24 miles an hour spurts and 22 miles an hour average in some races.
So KP, before we jump in to talk about our new show called the Dog Driver Show, I have to ask you one final question. You had mentioned you'd raced all over the world, Norway, Sweden, Alaska, Lower 48, all over the places. Where is your favorite place to race? Do you have one?
My favorite place is my home trails, probably Chugiak. It's extremely technical for Alaskans mainly, because our trails are so flat and fast and straight. So for Alaskans, they call these trails very, very technical, because it's curvy and hilly and up and down and left and right, and you have to be on your toes all the time. Speed-wise, of course, it's not the fastest trail because of the hills and because of the curves. In Europe, the Chugiak trails are actually very, very normal, because in Europe, majority of the trails are in the mountains. That's probably my favorite trail, quite honestly, because it's my home trail.
And with that comes a little bit of an edge, I think. If you're out there every day on those trails, when folks come up from other places, they're hitting a new trail, aren't they?
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, last year when I won Eagle River Classic, one of my competitors during the awards mentioned that I know every single tree on that trail, because not only I train there, but also I'm the trail boss and I groom and maintain those trails for the other mushers.
They're beautiful trails. I've been on them many times, and you guys hold all sorts of events there, everything from dry land in the early season all the way up to the big boy with the Eagle River Classic and many other races in between. Again, before we jump over to our show, what are you planning on doing this year in the 2019-2020 season?
2019 and 2020, we actually acquired 2 additional dogs in the kennel, so we have 16 now, and to have a little bit bigger pool. It's very, very difficult to run open class and compete against the big boys with big kennels and semi-professional people, quite honestly, or some cases professional people with a small pool. I'm usually underdogged. That means that I don't have enough dogs to have for a specific race. But racing-wise, of course, Eagle River Classic, which is, by the way, was recognized just as of 2 days ago. We got the awards as the International Sled Dog Racing Association Event of the Year in open class. That will be one of my goals because my home race. And depending how the weather is going to be, Onak or Rendezvous, one or the other, we're going to go to. There are different type of racing. Both of them are pretty tough races. You have to prepare religiously for those races. And, of course, and the little, not little, but shorter sprints, the 16-milers also.
So let's talk about this brand new show that you're doing, this brand new podcast called The Dog Driver Show. Talking off air, you had said that you have a bunch of interviews already lined up. Before we talk about those interviews, what do you think the format of the show is going to be? Can you tell our listeners?
Well, I think we have to have our listeners and our audience basically set the stage for us. And that's what I did. I put a post out, actually, and asked our friends and people in the field, people in the sport, to come up with ideas and options, and got a tremendous amount of response from different drivers in different stage of their career, from beginners all the way to the pros, asking, hey, it would be great if you talk about traveling with your dogs, or, you know, what about hydrating your dogs before races, or, you know, how often should we transition dogs from dry land bike touring to ski touring, and all of the above. So I think we have to keep an open open table almost for our guests as we are interviewing them.
So I have been doing a mushing podcast for over 10 years now. It's been a long time. And for the most part, we've been doing distance mushing, a little bit of sprint mushing here and there, just a couple of guests that I've had on my shows. But as far as I know, KP, you're going to be the only sprint mushing podcast anywhere in the world, at least on a regular schedule. What is the need for that? I know that people just absolutely devour our distance show. What do you think the need is for a sprint show?
We have to hit the full spectrum of our sport. As I mentioned earlier, anything from your canicross monosport athletes to the bigger open class drivers. And we have a tremendous amount of racers in general, or even recreational people with sled dogs looking to learn. In sports, you know, people ask me often, you know, what is the recipe to the success? And I mentioned, you know, keeping an open mind is part of it. Even the pros, they have to keep an open mind. And I think for the sprinters in general, a lot of us, we like to learn new tricks, new techniques, new regimens about breeding, nutrition, all of the above. And I think this show is going to help a lot of us learning how other people are doing, how are successful, or how they're putting it together.
So you and I have only talked about this for the last couple of weeks. Do you envision more of a storytelling interview type show, or more of an educational type show, or a mixture of both?
I believe it's better to mix them, quite honestly, because that way every week or every other week we have a new vision for our show, and talk about new classes, and some of them, they may be a good surprise. So our listeners, they better be ready for new shows.
I'm looking forward to it as well. We're going to share it all over the place, including on the Chugiak Dog Mushers Facebook page, and we hope to have a lot of feedback from that. But another part of our show is going to be some live coverage of the events at Chugiak. We've already put out some feelers for some folks that may have interest in doing that. Can you share a little bit about that part of the Dog Driver Show?
I think that would be fantastic. So maybe basically, Robert, as you mentioned, we will have a live. We did some tests, I believe you did last year during the Dryland event. We had it on social media live. And this time it's going to be a little bit more active, more interviews. And we're going to start that with our Dryland race. And we're going to transition later this season to the big race of the year, the Eagle River Classic.
You know, I know that they do live radio coverage of races like the Ferrandi and the Onak and that type of thing. I envision having somebody up in our timing booth doing color and commentary as they're going, thinking about like a football game for folks that are listening, you know, with John Gruden and John Madden and those types of things. What do you think about that part of your show? Do you like that sort of social, or I guess color commentary about what's happening out on the trail during your show?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Onak and Rendezvous, as you mentioned, 95% of the drivers, they have earpieces and they're listening to the show because the times and checkpoint times are being given. And so you strategize your speed, your tempo based on your competition, because those two big races, a lot of things they can happen. So it's not just going out full blast and try to make it through the trail. You want to know where the fast guys are, you know, you want to know how everybody else is doing, because you have to strategize and control your speed. And it'd be great if we can do the same thing for the classic with checkpoints and with people at the checkpoints giving the information about the dog teams going by, such and such driver, you know, the wheel dog looks tired, or such and such driver, you know, going through, blasting through with full speed. What is the time difference between driver number one and driver number two? And giving all this information not only to the audience, but also to the other drivers at the same time.
You know, you learn something every day. I had no idea folks were listening to the radio broadcast as they were out there on the trail. And that's a strategy, I assume.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, I did not do it because I was a rookie. I was a beginner, and I didn't want to mess my race based on, you know, the top guns of our sports. So I just minded my own business and ran my dog team and did fairly well. But a lot of top guys, your Egalelises, your Streepers, your Cheeseks, your Taylors, your Earharts, they listen actually, and they calculate. Some of these guys, they have 2-3 GPSs on their sleds to know what the other guy is doing and base their speed and their tempo based on the rest of the field.
It's a whole different world from the mushing, the distance mushing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very thrilling, and because it's fast, it's furious, and you don't have a lot of time to think. You have to react. You don't prepare a lot of things. And in, of course, in limited classes, even worse, because that is just full speed. You cannot turn your head. You just go out and run fast.
I have one final question for you, KP, before we end our introduction show. Just recently, I've been talking to a lot of folks that are heading over to Sweden for the international races here in a couple of months. And one of the questions that has come up every single time was, how do you wrap your head around traveling across the world for a race that literally takes just a few minutes? Like in the smaller classes, like a four dog class, you're running 4 miles, so your race is over in 20 minutes. What do you think about that? You're packing up and going all the way around the world for only 20 or 30 minutes out on the trail.
You know, and we've done it. As a matter of fact, when we lived in the U.S., we sent a four-dog team to the World Championship in Sils, in Switzerland, and flew the dog team there and spent thousands of dollars, and we got there and the dogs got sick and we had to scratch. So it's the passion, it's the bug that all the sprinters, they have, and they want to always compare their teams and their level to the best of our sport. And you don't want to be the champion of your neighborhood. You want to be the champion of the world. And that's, I think, the fire in the belly that we have among the elite of our sport. You know, you always, I want to see a field which pushes me further and further. And so I'm not complacent anymore. And that's why people, they do those trips for 5 minutes on the bike, or for, you know, 10 minutes behind a cart.
And I think that's sort of the focus of our show, is to not only share those stories, but also to compare each other and what things are, what they're doing out on the trail and how they're doing it. And I think this is a great format for the show. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're sitting here today. Anything else you want to say in closing?
No, just if you have questions, if you have comments, please make sure you send it to the websites and to your page, of course, or Chugach Dog Mushers. And, we'll be more than happy to ask those questions and the comments. And this is your show. This is for people like all of us who are bit by this bug calling sprint racing.
Guys that are listening, our plan at this point is we're going to air on Monday evenings at about 8 o'clock Alaska time. And, of course, it'll be available on, as is a podcast afterwards, on all of the podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and Spotify and more. We'll keep everybody up to date with how to find our show. KP, it has been a pleasure. Looking forward to doing this with you. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
From Dog Works Radio, this is Mushing Radio. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we invite you to subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find a link on the episode notes. You can tap or swipe on the episode cover art, and you'll see some offers from our sponsors. You can support our show by supporting them. If you like what you have heard, we would love it if you could give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends how to subscribe too. Your hosts are Alex Stein and Robert Forto. Our producer is Robert Forto, created for Dog Works Radio. Did you know that Alaska Dog Works trains service dogs for those in need throughout North America? Each and every service dog that is trained through the Lead Dog Service Dog Program and Michelle Forto and her team has an individual training plan. We train for autistic, mobility, psychiatric, and PTSD for our soldiers for service work. If you know of someone that may need a service dog, please take a moment and check out Alaska Dog Works on social media and at alaskadogworks.com.